I want to thank you for joining me at this turning of the year. This turning of the year is a sacred time, not so much in our culture, because in our culture, in this country and elsewhere, we think of it as celebratory in a particular way, happy celebratory, having fun celebratory. But there are very few who think about celebrating with God. And so, at the turn of the year, what makes that turning sacred is the intention we have, intention, about the kind of life we want to live. And because you're here at this time when you could be celebrating in a different way, I assume that there's some hunger that each of you may be feeling about living a sacred life. So I'm glad for that, because what we call happiness is not just what our culture has determined it to be, having fun, playing, drinking, distracting ourselves, and so on. What we call happiness has a lot to do with what we're doing the rest of the year, every other day, and what our intention is. So at the turn of the year, because it's a marker in time, each one of us, whether we're conscious of it or not, starts to reevaluate, what are we doing with our life? What are we doing with this past year? What are we doing with the next year to come? Most of us, whether we decide to make New Year's resolutions or not, we have an inner sense that time has passed and now what are we going to do with the next period of time? So we have different versions of what a spiritual life looks like. All cultures, all religions, all people have different versions. But one of the things that each one of us needs to determine for ourselves, and we're the only ones who can do that, is what kind of depth do we want to have in our inner life? Because what's most common, and you can see for yourself where you are with this, what's most common in what we call a spiritual life is compartmentalizing life. So that we do spiritual practice, and we could even be dedicated to a particular spiritual practice, but then there's the rest of our life. The rest of our life in which we get involved with relationships and dynamics and personality things. So we have our spiritual practice, and we could be eating a healthy diet, we're eating whole foods, and then there's the rest of life. So what this evening is meant to bring into focus is for each of you to think about, to feel about, what do you really believe about living a sacred life, a life with the divine, a life with a sense of the sacred in your everyday life, a sense of the sacred no matter what you're doing. All of us are doing something, different kinds of work, whatever, wherever that might be. Not to discriminate. I can't do a spiritual life because I'm busy doing other things, or I don't have time, or my work doesn't lend itself because I'm so focused on the computer, so I can't be spiritual because my work is involved with programming. So we have all of these definitions going on in our mind about why we have to continue to compartmentalize our life. Why? And they seem reasonable, except for the fact, and here's the premise, beloved ones, here's the premise for you to look in your own heart. What we call being human thus far is a limited version of what we are meant to be. Limited. Limited because we haven't fully expanded into the potential of linking what's possible for our inner life with what's possible outside. And let me say something about working on computers. There are many of us, and some of you may be feeling this too, who feel an aversion to getting involved with electronics and technology and electromagnetic fields, and it's all reasonable and it's all real, but there are energetic issues involved with dealing with technology. But that involves a decision about how you treat your body in relation to the energetic issues that you face when you're going through your day. And that question is a sacred question. How do you treat your body when you're going through your day? Dealing with a computer is only one aspect of that question. The question is, where are your thoughts when you're driving? Where are your thoughts when you're sitting in a restaurant having a meal? Where are your thoughts when you're shopping? These are the telltale signs of what kind of life you're leading. Because we have to learn. We have to learn how to do this. This is the expansion of our potential, and it's what the new year is meant to bring about for those who are interested. Many people, many, who feel a connection with the divine, by whatever name and whatever religion that might take place, have that connection in a part of their consciousness, and then there's the rest of life. So when I gave the title to this meditation talk, Embracing the Sacred, I want to ask you to think about this word, embracing. Is this something that you feel in your heart ready to do? Or is it something that you don't feel you have time for? Because embracing means giving yourself to it. Giving yourself to it. And it means redefining what you're doing in your days. For example, and we know this in principle, there are lots of principles we hold, beliefs, about spiritual thoughts, what it means to pray, what it means to meditate. We have pictures about what that's involved with. We take time out to sit in front of an altar or to have a prayer mat or to do yoga. We know what these things are. But what does it mean to be connected with the God in each moment that you sit down at the computer? In each moment that you're at Whole Foods buying food or wherever you go to buy food? What does it mean? This is a matter of consciousness. It's not a matter of action. Because everything, when we talk about the word embracing, has to do with your inner motivation to give yourself to the divine, which is you. It's not someplace else. It's you. Give yourself to your inner being. Give yourself to the purpose that you're here for. Give yourself to it. Not superficially, but all of it, all of you. It's not somewhere else. The divine isn't, God isn't somewhere else. God is everywhere, in here, out there, in Whole Foods, in the supermarket, on the street, and also in front of the computer. So embracing means that we have an intention to bring forward that relationship, to bring it forward where it seems to be missing. Where does that intention come from? Beloved ones, it comes from your heart, because each of you was created as a soul. We can call the soul by a different name. You were created that way. That's where the intention comes from. For each of us who is inhabiting a body, we have a purpose to bring forward our sacred purpose for being on the earth. It's built in. It's the human mandate of why each person is alive. Because the soul has chosen to be here to fulfill a purpose of its own, and often to fulfill a purpose that's a collective purpose at the same time. So, you decide. How important is that to you? How important is it to you to be conscious? I'm saying to you, on this New Year's Eve of 2016, going into 2017, this couldn't be more important. Why? Well, it's always been important for us because each of us is trying to become more real, more of who we are. We're trying to live from the inside out. But especially now, at this time when outer difficulties are increased because of the unpredictability of life, the unpredictability of a new administration coming in to govern this country, the unpredictability of certain events that are going on in other countries. Especially now, it's more important to have an anchor point inside ourselves that tells us that we don't have to be looking outside to find out what we're doing here. We look inside, and that holds us through the difficulties. We need to not be defined by events that are going on around us. We need to learn how to reference our feelings, our thoughts, our identity from the inside and not be defined by events. But for today, I'm speaking about how you feel about living a sacred life. Does it seem too big for you? Does it seem impossible for you? Do you feel that you don't have the clue about what that means? Or is it something that you feel hungry about? Hungry. And I'm saying to you, whatever you're doing that you've incorporated into a sacred context, sacred being relationship with the divine, is good. It's all good. Whatever practice you're doing, whatever time you're taking for yourself, whatever you're doing to feel more of who you are inwardly, it's all good. And there's more. There's so much more because even those who are involved with spiritual work and spiritual practice feel often because of the currents of emotion and energy that are coming from inside, unhealed portions of ourself, and relationships that need to be healed, and then external events that are happening where big collective emotional currents are sweeping through lots of people. We hear it in the news, and we feel the effect of it, whether we're listening all day to the radio or not, which is not such a good idea anymore. So, we're impacted from inside and from outside by big, big currents of energy. And that's why today, this last night of 2016, it's more important to find the place of stability inside. And the place of stability is the place of the sacred. Here's what I want to say in as many different ways as possible. All of you who are here, I'm sure, have immersed yourself, whether through reading or doing yoga or listening to talks or traveling or whatever you've been doing, in spiritual principles. You have some thoughts that are spiritual thoughts. And now we need to bring them out of the realm of thought into the realm of life, practice. Life, not practice, isolated practice, but practice, conversation, relationship with our inner being, with the divine inside, with the divine around us, every minute. And when we get lost, then it's our new, if we choose it, responsibility to say, I'm going into unconsciousness, come on back. We say this to ourselves so we don't get lost. We have to take now, at this time, responsibility for monitoring our own getting lost. When we get lost, and when I say getting lost, I mean on that level of distraction, dynamics, interpersonal relationships, dynamics, things that we think are just there. We're having problems in our relationship, you know. So then we go into a psychological mode of talking about life, and we're dealing with the interactions with people, and we're dealing with things that we've had as problems from childhood, and we're thinking about how to work things out. And meanwhile, we're not thinking about God. We're just thinking about our problems. So I'm really recommending to you, if you feel like it, that you take yourself out of that context of dealing with yourself as if you're a personality, and move yourself into some other place because that's not who you are. That's like a suit of clothes or a dress or something you're wearing. You're wearing this personality. I know you have heard all this before. I know you have. And so I'm encouraging you, if you have heard it 5, 10, 20 times, think about what your motivation is right now. Because the personality self is a place where you get limited in thinking about how to move forward. You get limited by repetitive patterns. You get limited by thinking that if you think more about a problem, it's going to get resolved. Everyone here knows that's not necessarily true, that thinking more about certain things doesn't resolve them, because what needs to happen is you need to go to a different place in yourself. Not think more about it. Your mind's already overworking itself. You need to go to a different place in yourself. And that place is not your personality. It's the place of your divine creation, your inner being, depth. Please think about whether you are feeling like you need to run out of the room now, or whether you're feeling like this is a possibility for you. Because sometimes, and people say this to me, not infrequently, it's too big and I'm too small. That's a common thought. These are all wonderful ideas, but I don't have the inner wherewithal to do this. I'm too small. I can't manage the big things. I can manage the small things because I'm practically overwhelmed with my life as it is. You know how common that is? And so things get backwards. If you've gone to meditation retreats, you know that those teachers who are teaching at meditation retreats will say to you, if you feel like you don't have any time to meditate, that's when you need meditation more than the others, because you'd feel you don't have any time, because your mind is being spent with you all of the time. So I'm saying to you, you need to bring principles into practice. You bring principles into your everyday awareness of what you're doing. If you want to. If you want to. That's always the question. What does your heart hunger for? Does it hunger for the sacred? Does it hunger to be more real? Does it hunger to have more depth in yourself and in your relationships? Does it hunger? Hunger is very important in having a sacred life. Hunger fuels what you're willing to do with your consciousness. It fuels it. Think about your own hunger, what you're longing for. Feel what you hunger for. I have said this to people who have heard me talk before. Longing is very important. Longing is a current of energy that drives change. Longing is not something that our culture embraces. Our culture is fast food culture, fast spirituality culture, fast accomplishment culture. Get it now. So, longing is not something that you get now. Longing is something that you aim for and you have a feeling of greatly desiring it, but you have to sort of pull it towards you and you towards it. You're reaching for it. The feeling of longing is like that, reaching for something. So it doesn't come to you right away. If it came to you right away, it wouldn't be longing. You would already have it, and then it wouldn't act as a motivating force. So longing for a deeper relationship with yourself, longing for a deeper relationship, a more truthful, a more sacred relationship with your loved ones, longing for a deeper relationship with God, all is good. It brings to you the circumstances that will allow that to happen. Longing is an activating force that brings to you the life circumstances that will allow you to move in the direction of your longing. You have to be patient with longing. It's not going to knock on your door immediately because you say, I really want this. But you can trust, if you can, that the synchronicity, we call it, synchronicity between inner thoughts, inner events, and outer happenings is always working, whether we see it that way or not. So longing activates that synchronicity of divine intention, so it brings to us what we're longing for. We need patience, and we need to be willing to feel what our heart is longing for. And if we're not longing for the sacred, if we're not ready to, you know, embrace it, that's okay too. It'll be later on that will happen. Because it can't not happen, beloved ones. It cannot not happen because you are created as a divine being. So it can't not happen because your inner being is waiting to express. I'm going to pause here, and we're going to have a little time to sit and absorb what I've been saying, and so you can see how you're feeling and see how you are, and I'll start talking again very shortly, but I want to give you this time to feel inside yourself with what's important to you.
Mambalalitadi
A little while the music's still playing. You can keep your eyes closed if you like. I want to put this to you while you're in this quieter place, hopefully. What does it mean to you to be a divine being? These are words you've heard before. What does it mean to you to be a human being? Are those two different things? Are they the same thing? What does it mean to be a divine being? So, while we're sitting in the quieter place, I want to say this. Humanity's idea, our collective idea, about what it means to be human, has changed drastically over time. And I'm talking about millennia. Our attitudes, collectively, towards what it means to have emotions, what it means to have intimacy, what intimacy is, what it means to express oneself. There isn't a fixed way of looking at what it means to be a human being. If we generalize and say, most people do this, this is what it means to be human. This is what people do. We're just taking the current abstraction of what it means to be a human being. We're just saying, this is what everybody says right now, but that's not what everybody said a century ago or 500 years ago. Vast differences in what we've come to think of as being a human being. So if we take this as a premise, it's true historically, then we have to understand that our version of who we think we are is flexible. It's changeable. And what we think we're capable of is completely changeable. And this is where we need to open our eyes, beloved ones. What we think we're capable of is much less than what we're capable of. And we need to expand our definition of what being human means. You might feel, some of you, that these are big abstract questions and that you're having difficulty getting through the day because your back hurts, or it's difficult walking, or something else is going on physically. And so you may listen to me talk or someone else that you've listened to and say, that all is very well and good, but my body is hurting me, and that's all that I can pay attention to. That's a frame of reference. What we feel about our body and about the pain that we're in is a frame of reference which is greatly influenced by how we're holding what it means to be a human being and what it means to be a divine being. So it's very common in our culture today to separate out pain from spiritual life. Like pain is an obstacle. If it weren't there, we could be more spiritual. But it's there, so for reasons we don't know, we're very limited in being able to pay attention to what being spiritual would really be like. This is a premise that we're holding that involves our relationship to our body and our relationship to pain, and both of those things are changeable. If we hold them as sacred. But we don't often think about pain as sacred. We just don't. We just want it to stop, which is understandable. But wanting it to stop and holding it as sacred are not two opposites. our body hurts, so we want the pain to go away. And where is the divine meaning relationship within that context of you are experiencing pain? And where is the meaning of that? How could we be in relationship to our pain so that we don't separate from the universe of love? Love, the divine oneness, which is God, which is everything, is love. So in our minds, we have a certain kind of relationship with our body that says, here's me taking care of my body. Sometimes that works well. If we're fortunate, we don't have too much discomfort. But most people have difficulties, one kind or another, and some serious difficulties. So we have a choice about our sacred life, whether we feel blocked by being in pain, or by being in fear, or by being in anything, and whether we see that as an obstacle, or whether we see that as a platform to having a different relationship with our body as sacred. Because the event of being in a body doesn't define us, it's our relationship to the body that's important. And the fact of being in pain also doesn't need to define us, it's our relationship to the pain that's important. And some of you may have had the experience of being with people who had some kind of terminal illness, or who had some kind of great difficulty, who felt a kind of peace and trust and connection with something larger that was holding it. It's not that uncommon to find that. Sometimes people feel that way. They don't have necessarily a spiritual consciousness in words, but they have something that holds all experience, including painful experience, in a place of trust. That's what makes for a sacred life. That we don't exclude portions of our life because they don't fit in with our understanding of what spiritual is. We don't exclude sacred because we're in pain. We have that relationship with the larger divine, by whatever name we call it, in the midst of the pain. We're relating to the pain. We're relating to its purpose. We're relating to the oneness. We're relating to our own soul as having chosen to be here in this body. We have each chosen this body that we're inhabiting. Now, you may not remember the choice, and some of you may wish you had made a different choice or that you had more information when you made the first choice. But there we are. The premise of being a divine creation, if you hold that in any place in your consciousness, means that your soul has governed the choices you make about what body you're in. And it will govern the choices you make about what you're going to do with that body. And so I'm suggesting to you, for those of you who are feeling pain and have had that problem for a long time, that you not let it separate you from the longing to feel something of God's presence with you in the pain, around the pain, helping heal the pain if that's possible on the physical level, helping hold the pain if it's not possible to remove it entirely, and so on. A sacred life is not dependent on external circumstance. It's dependent on your intention and attention. I-N and A. Intention and attention. What are you paying attention to? What? And how much do you tell yourself that these things that are difficult are obstacles rather than that they're pathways? Everything, beloveds, everything is a pathway to God. Everything. There's really, in our human embodied experience, of course there's pain, and we want it to stop because the body feels that way. But there's actually nothing that's really an obstacle. It's all experience. And some of you know that as a principle, but you haven't felt big enough to bring it into your everyday life, to hold it that way. And so, to go back to what I said at the beginning, we're still making a choice about compartmentalizing a life or giving ourselves to it, embracing, you know, giving ourselves to it. And if fear comes up, which could be that you don't know what that means, or you think maybe you won't be able to manage as well if you become more conscious, there's something. The purpose of denial, that so many people practice, is to maintain ourselves in a comfort zone. We stay in denial about what's really happening because we want to stay comfortable. So then we just don't see what's right in front of us, whatever it is. Well, of course that's a choice. To not be in pain is a choice, if you can avoid it, to stay within your comfort zone. But if you stay within your comfort zone, you're not going to fulfill the longing to find depth of who you are, who God is, and who love is when you're, or what love is in your capacity to be with others. In order to do that, you have to leave your comfort zone. So then, if you decide, well, maybe I'm ready to do that, then you try and look at those areas where you're afraid of pain. So there's pain, and then there's fear of pain. Pain and fear of pain, they're not the same thing. You could have pain, and you could not be afraid of it. You could have pain physically or emotionally, and not feel that it's an obstacle that you have to get rid of, to feel that it's a pathway. These are all choices, and this is what it means to live a sacred life, to hold it all together under one umbrella, so it's not compartmentalized like pieces of a pie. You're not a pie. You're one. You're one being. You're one being. You're not a pie. We use a lot of words here. I'm talking. You've heard other words from other people talking to you. You've used your own words. So I'm going to close this portion of what I'm saying by saying this. Your soul knows truth. It knows truth because it's your eternal being and it lives with truth. Your mind may not know truth, but your soul does. It's imprinted as part of the oneness. Your soul is the portion of the divine oneness that has chosen to take form in your present habitation of this body. Your soul knows what's true. It resonates with truth. It feels it, it hungers for it. But so that's important for you to know, that truth lives inside you. Not truth about what's going on in the political arena, truth about what reality is, truth about love, truth about hope, truth about purpose. That's what your soul knows. And also sometimes truth about the reality of what's going on around you that presents itself as true, but that might actually be false. This is a way of life that you're being invited to by virtue of being here. Not by me, but by your own soul. Your own inner being wants to come out to be expressing itself in life. Your own soul has come here to do that. So when you think you're small, or are afraid of having more pain, or afraid that these concepts are too big and your life is too small and it's too busy and so forth, look at the place in you that believes or doesn't believe that you are a divine creation. Look at it. It's all right not to believe it fully. You can be 50% believing, 50% doubting, 75-25, any proportions you like. Just look at it. You don't have to be in a different place than you are. Just look at it. The place of divine truth is your soul. It's not your mind. And your heart is connected with your soul. And depth of being, depth of relationship, depth of understanding, all comes from that place of the truth of your own inner being, your soul. So there's no such thing as being too small. You may feel like your life is too small, like you don't get out a lot, or you feel limited by your physical problems that you may have, but you can be very small in how much you're traveling around and very large inside. That's a choice, darling. That's a choice. Well, I'm going to stop talking now and ask you to go inside your heart, take a moment, see what you would like to share with me or ask me. This is the part about our conversation with each other.